In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It's so great to be with you. And today, we're talking about all souls. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. Isn't All Souls Day on Saturday? Why are you talking about it on Tuesday? That's a great question. Here's the answer. We got a power-packed week of shows this week. So tomorrow, of course, is Word of God Wednesday. And this Sunday is Vocations Sunday. So I want to make sure that we're talking about vocations tomorrow. We're going to look at the readings for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for the Sunday and tie it into vocations. And then, of course, Thursday is Halloween. So we want to talk about how should we look at Halloween as Catholics? Should we celebrate it? Should we not? I want to take a look at that. And then, of course, Friday is All Saints Day. So a solemnity and a holy day of obligation. So, of course, we're going to be talking about All Saints. So lots of great shows for you this week. But we're starting off today, today, Tuesday, with All Souls. So what I'd love to hear from you is, one of the things about All Souls is we remember those who have died and, as we say, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, which, of course, is baptism, right? So I'd love to hear from people today to share some stories, experiences of people who have gone before us, those souls who are either with the Lord in heaven or in the church suffering in purgatory, who will be with the Lord, we pray, one day soon. Your memories, experiences, how they've influenced you, how maybe someone has changed your life. How do you remember and honor that person to this day? Would love to hear from you today. If you want to give us a call, would love to hear from you. Always love hearing from the EWTN family. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, just want to give you a quick update. I talked about the jury duty thing and I petitioned to be excused because of my travel schedule. Now, if I were not traveling as much as I do, I would definitely do I believe it's our duty. Our civic duty to participate in this juridical process. The days they wanted me to come and the extent of time that was required was it would have put a burn on my ability to take care of my family. So they granted my request. I received an official notice from the county circuit court that I've been excused from jury service. No need to report. No further action is needed. You can disregard your summons. I just want to emphasize, though, that if you can, that you should serve, at least go in and see if you'll be picked to serve on a jury. And even if I was selected and I could go, usually I don't get picked because of my law enforcement background. So, it's a good thing to do. So, where in the world am I? Well, I am home, and I'm happy to say I'm going to be home for about the next 10 days. So, get a nice little respite at home, and I got tons of stuff to catch up on, though. I've got a number of projects, writing projects, and other things I need to get done. I've got a big conference coming up, speaking to deacons, a deacon's retreat at Steubenville with Dr. Scott Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma and several others. And so I'm going to make sure that my presentation is outstanding. I've been working on that. I'm working on another book project. I've got several articles that I've got done. I got my USCCB reflection, which is going to be this Thursday for the U.S. bishops. I'm finishing that up today, actually, as a matter of fact, as well. So, yeah, lots to do while I'm home. But I'm grateful for this time home. My wife and I are going to do a little bit of a getaway this weekend at the Oregon coast, just for a couple days, just to have some us time. And I'm taking the twins out. You know, we did this thing. I mean, you've heard me talk about, you know, guys' night out with my son, or taking my daughters on dates, which I've done when they were younger. And also when the twins were younger, I want to do something special for them. You know, because especially at a time when the emphasis was on the older girls, and, you know, I didn't want the twins to feel left out. So we did this Daddy Twins Day. So what we do is we go to Powell's, because one of the things we want to do is emphasize reading and the intellectual pursuits, and not just video games and watching TV. So we go to Powell's, which is a famous bookstore here in Portland. In fact, it's the largest bookstore west of the Mississippi. It's an entire city block, four stories. It is massive. And so when the twins were, I think we started this when they were, I know they were in Holy Redeemer. That must have been fifth grade, 10 years old, fifth grade, sixth grade. We go to Powell's and they get some books, and I'd buy whatever books they wanted to get, because I want to encourage them to read. And then we go to dinner afterwards. So it was like Daddy Twins Day. So now, now they're no longer 10 and 11. They're 20, almost 22 years old. And they when they found out I was going to be home for 10 days, let's do a Daddy Twins Day. And I said, yes, let's do it. And so we're going tomorrow after the show, and we're going to go to Powell's and dinner, you know, just like we always done since they were little. And it's so great to be able to spend that time. It's interesting talking with them now as adults than the conversations we had, of course, when they were in grade school and we started doing the Daddy Twins Day. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. And over the weekend, I just have to say this. You know, I spoke at two events. I spoke at the Chaldean Catholic Men's Conference. This was in Bloomfield, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit. Chaldean Catholics, of course, is one of the Eastern Catholic rites, this part of the Catholic Church. And they're from Iraq. So these are Iraqi Catholics. And I was there. I spoke in 2018. Had an amazing time there then, and back again this time. About 350 men were there. And what was awesome, there were so many college-aged young men and high schoolers. A lot of fathers brought their sons. And it was so great to look out and to see the wonderful spectrum of ages. You know, so you got some older guys, you got younger high school kids. Oh, it was awesome. And so many of them, the young men came up to me and said, thank you so much for telling us the truth. You know, I spoke the truth in love, but it was the truth. The way, the truth, and life is the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I got the chance to deacon at the Chaldean Mass with the bishop. So Bishop Francis was awesome, great homily, and he allowed me to serve as deacon at the Chaldean. That was only my second. I'm used to the Maronite, but not the Chaldean. So, but it was beautiful. I had an amazing time. And then Sunday, I spoke in my home state of New Jersey. Domestic Church Media had their fundraising dinner, and Johnette Williams was supposed to be there. So I pinched hit it for her, and it was great. So many amazing Catholics there, and it was a beautiful event. Johnette was definitely missed. She is well loved. So many EWTN folks there. So I hope I did her justice by filling in for her during that event. It was beautiful. It was great to be back in Jersey and to see how Catholic radio is growing, you know, all around the country, but especially my home state of New Jersey. So I was thrilled to be there. Wonderful people. And I'm just so blessed, so incredibly blessed not just be part of radio, but especially part of the EWTN radio family. You know, I'm just so honored. And I look forward to the other events. I have some radio events coming up before the end of this year with Real Presence Radio in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and a number of places with them next year and some other stations. Well, I've got John Paul II station in San Diego. I'm doing their keynote next month as well. So busy time for Catholic radio, which is very important for our culture today. All right, my friends, so we're talking about All Souls Day today. And I want you to call in and share some memories of how those who have gone before us, those who have died, your parents, cousins, scoutmaster, whoever, they impacted you. 833-288-EWTN. In the beginning was that hover note.
Yeah,
I love songs that have that kind of note that just hangs there.
Yeah,
you know, Prince does that in Housequake. Queen does that in Lap of the Gods. That's an early Queen, Lap of the Gods. I mean, I just love songs that just hang, that have that note just kind of hangs back. I love that.
Yeah, and what I love too, now have a better understanding of music theory, there's not a lot of chords going on there. He's just dancing up and down within like a three chord progression, but it sounds fancy.
Oh yeah, it's 1-4-5 typically.
Yeah,
kind of a bluesy thing, but yep, but a different take on it, you know. And I love the organ, the organ sound there. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Just laid back, you know.
Yeah. Try that in church, folks.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're talking about All Souls Day today. I know it's a few days away, but we've got a lot to cover this week. We've got vocations. We're talking about Halloween, All Saints. So today we're focusing on All Souls. If you have a memory of someone who's impacted you, impacted your faith life, made a significant contribution to helping you become the person that you are today, someone who influenced you strongly, would love to hear about those who have gone before us, those who have passed on, whether it's it may be a spouse, it may be a mentor, it may be a sibling, it may be a relative or a teacher, right? Someone that impacted you, and you continue to pray for that person now after they've gone from this world. And you remember all of those folks, especially on All Souls Day. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Want to remind you that if you are on TuneIn, you can always take EWTN Radio with you for live streaming, and you can even find out more about our podcast as well when you, of course, stream by searching EWTN on the TuneIn mobile app.
Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. That's right, the hymnal, the prayer hymnal of the Jewish people and us as Catholics, because we hear the Psalms in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we're using the Revised Grail Psalms. These Psalms are approved for use in the holy sacrifice of the Mass by the U.S. bishops and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And today we're going to finish our look at Psalm 21. So Psalm 21, of course, is in Book 1 of the Psalms. And all those Psalms in Book 1, Psalms 1 through 41, are written by David. And don't forget, you can listen to this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. Go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or on the EWTN app, which is awesome, which, by the way, just made all their content free. You know, I just got the update. I love EWTN app. It's great. And you can also listen, of course, on Spotify or SoundCloud or iTunes or whichever podcast medium you'd like, the Soulful Psalms. Okay, so we're starting at verse 9. Now, the prescript, verse 1, very simply says, for the choir master, a psalm of David. Now, we've talked before about imprecatory psalms or quote-unquote cursing psalms. Now, these psalms don't use curse words, okay? But it's very strong, like, language in it as far as, like Psalms 58, 83, 109 is not even used in the Psalter as part of the four-week cycle because of some of the strong themes of those songs, of those psalms. And this psalm, and there's parts of other psalms, Psalm 110 and others that they leave parts of those psalms out. Well, these few verses we're going to go through now are parts that are left out of the psalm when you pray. So when you pray the Liturgy of the Hours and you get this Psalm 21, you'll see it says verses 1 through 8 and then verse 14. So wait a minute, what happened to 9 through 13? Well, they took those verses out because they didn't like the tone of them. But we're going to cover those here because I'm with St. Augustine that says, that we shouldn't be leaving any of the Psalms out. This is all inspired word of God. We have to understand it within its context. So let me just lead in by going through verse 8. So this is a psalm where David is rejoicing in the blessings that he received from the Lord as king. So let's quickly recap verse 8. The king has placed his trust in the Lord. Through the mercy of the Most High, he is unshaken. So again, this beautiful theme of David, unwavering trust in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he is unshaken. Right? So that's the lead-in. Now we get to verse 9. Your hand will find out all your foes. Your right hand will find out those that hate you. You will burn them like a blazing furnace on the day when you appear. And the Lord will consume them in his anger. Fire will swallow them up. Okay, so you can see that they're not actually using curse words, but this is not wishing hateful things to people. But again, what David is doing here is saying the people who choose not to put their trust in the Lord, the people who turn their backs on the ways of the Lord, who make the intellectual and heartfelt decision to follow their own way of living and thinking and not of the Lord, there's consequences for those, right? There's consequences for that when you freely choose not to do that. So your hand, so again, speaking on behalf of the Lord here, your hand will find out all your foes. Your right hand find out those that hate you. So again, he's in a sense speaking for the Lord. I mean, the Lord didn't necessarily put these words in his mouth, right? But he's thinking, okay, I put my trust in the Lord. Those who don't, the Lord will find out who they are, and they're going to suffer the consequences of their actions and decisions, because all of the actions and decisions of our lives have consequences. And look at the consequences here. Again, he's using symbolic language, right? He's using metaphoric language here. He will burn them like a blazing furnace. But actually, we think about, hold on, look at burn them like a blazing furnace. Think about what purgatory is. It's a burning away of all those things that separate us from God's love. It's like when you pull ore out of, like, a precious metal like gold or silver, when you pull it out of the ground, you have to separate all the impurities out of it so that the gold or the silver or the other precious metal is pure, right? So you have to separate the slag from the ore. So when this blazing furnace, that's like purgatory. It burns away all those things within us that separate us from God's love, so that when our souls appear before the Lord as pure and holy, right? And as Jesus says, perfect, teleos in Greek, or tamim in Hebrew, which means mature, whole, and complete. Right? So you will burn like a blazing furnace on the day when you appear, because the God is pure light, and that light of God's love burns away hatred, burns away sin, burns away animosity, right? That separates us from God. That's now, see, this is the way that I'm reading this psalm. Not like, God, will you burn them with your anger and destroy them? Yes, it uses that language, but understanding what David is actually trying to say here, using the language of his culture, but what is he actually trying to say here? He will consume them with his anger. Fire will swallow them up, right? So, again, I'm thinking back to the sons of Korah, right? In 2 Samuel, where the fire from heaven comes down. The ground opens and swallowed up Korah and his family. The fire from heaven consumes the other followers of Korah who rebelled against Moses. I'm sorry, it's Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16, where the fire consumed the followers of Korah. So David may be talking about that, but I'm looking at it from an allegorical perspective, looking at it through the lens of Christ.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes when we're waiting on God to intervene in a situation, we still look to some of those Old Testament readings and thinking that that's still how he works.
Yes.
And it hazes over what he's really doing in those moments.
No, exactly right. And this is where the atheists and agnostics and people who don't like faith, see, look what kind of God, he burns them up. Well, look, first of all, God didn't do that. Mm-hmm. David is speaking, in a sense, on behalf of God, saying, here's what the people that don't follow God, they're going to experience pain.
Yeah.
And he's using this language to describe that. That's all he's doing here.
Yeah.
It gets even stronger, verse 11. You will wipe out their descendants from the earth and their offspring from the human race. Woo!
That's vicious.
It is vicious. Again, that's why they call these, quote unquote, cursing psalms, right?
Right.
Though they planned evil against you, though they plotted, they shall not prevail. Right? Though they plotted, they shall not prevail. So again, wiping out their descendants from the earth, their offspring from the human race. Again, very strong language, but again, the consequences of separating yourself from God's love is what? Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Eternally, the making the decision forever, for all eternity, to be separated from God.
Yeah.
Right? So in a sense, when you think about it that way, they are wiped out from the earth. Right? And he said they're offspring from the human race. Now, thanks be to God. Again, looking at this allegorically through the lens of what Christ has done for us, you know, God has provided a way for these folks to find redemption and salvation. Because remember, wipe out from the face of the earth. Where did they go? They went to Sheol, mm-hmm. right? Not the hell of damnation, right? Because everybody that died prior to Jesus on Good Friday went down to Sheol, or Hades, the abode of the dead. Then Christ went down and brought those souls to heaven. Those who made the decision to follow Christ, to bring those souls with him to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're hoping for our faithful loved ones that die, that they have made the decision when they stand before God to be judged, that they made the decision not to separate themselves from God's love, but to live with God forever in heaven. Maybe have to go through purgatory first, but at least they're going to be on their way to heaven.
Mm, yeah.
And so this is why we say at Mass when people die that we know for sure they're in heaven. We can't say that because we don't know. We pray, but we don't know.
Sure. Well, and also, I mean, really the ultimate in any situation is let them find Jesus. Like, whether they ever apologize to you for a situation or right the wrong or whatever, but to know God, that is the ultimate goal.
Amen. O Lord, arise in your strength. We shall sing and praise your power on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about all souls today. Yeah, you got that nice little almost 808 kind of sound in there, that heavy.
Yeah.
bass sound. Love that.
I feel like an All Souls kind of theme. Yeah. We need that.
Yeah, music that just hits you in the soul, right?
That's right. As it all does.
That's amen. Amen. Love that. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're talking about All Souls Day today. Now, why are we talking about All Souls Day today? Because we got a power-packed week of shows. We're going to talk about vocations tomorrow on Word of God Wednesday because it's Vocation Sunday. So we're going to talk about vocations. And, of course, Thursday is Halloween, so we're going to talk about that. And then, of course, Friday is All Saints Day. And then Saturday is All Souls Day. Since we don't have a show on Saturday, I thought we could talk about All Souls today. And would love to hear from you. We'd love for you to call and tell us about someone who has died, someone who has gone before us, as we say, marked with the sign of faith, who impacted you, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, a mentor, a teacher, a friend, someone who impacted you in your life in a way that has allowed you to foster this relationship that you have with God. Does through their inspiration, their example has given you a witness that you still have in your life today, that of following God and honoring that person. How do you still honor them? I remember for me, I honor those by praying for them by name in my evening prayers and vespers. I name each one of them by name. So would love to hear from you today about all souls and the souls that have impacted your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to say congratulations to our friends in Somersville, West Virginia. 14 years Evangelist Radio as a partner with EWTN. And, of course, Louise and Jeff and the whole team. Just want to say congratulations to WSJE from all your friends at EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, again, we're talking about all souls. We'd love to hear from you about those who have impacted your life in a particular way, that has moved your soul to deeper intimacy with the Lord, and how you remembered that person on All Souls Day. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary is calling from Virginia, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mary, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Brother, I really like your show. Unfortunately, there's some areas where I drive and there's no signal, and I don't realize that I have no signal since I've been listening to static for 20 minutes. But I love listening to Guadalupe Radio, and your show is amazing. I have a lot of stories about the souls, and I can think of many, but I have a few that I'd like to share today.
Sure, Mary, go ahead, please.
I want to start with my confessor. For when I was a young girl, I'm in my late 50s. My birthday is next week. By the grace of God, I'm still alive. And I'm a cancer survivor, by the grace of God. And my confessor, when I was a teenager, he married us also with my husband. We've been married for 34 years. But when he married us, he got sick a few years after. And we had our first child already, and we visited him, and he had cancer. And he knew when he was going to die because his confessor went to visit Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. And he was the mother of my confessor asked him to pray for him. He said, please pray for Eduardo. That was his first name, Monsignor Fuentes. And then pray for him, and when you go to Fatima. And then when his confessor went to Fatima, Father Juan visited St. Lucia right now. You know, St. Lucia, sure. Sister Lucia back then in the 90s. And then he said, please, I have a special petition. Can you pray for Monsignor Eduardo Fuentes because he has cancer and his mother is requesting prayers. And then He sent a message to Sister Lucia because she was a cloister nun. And then he came back the next day to see if there was something or some he some petition answer or something. And then Sister Lucia called him and said, Father Juan, I have a message from heaven for you. Tell my son Eduardo, Our Lady says, tell my son Eduardo, he has a special place in heaven and he's going to die in July. And he said, she told him the day he was going to die. So when our confessor was about when he heard the news, when his confessor came back to my country and gave him the news that he was going to pass on such date in July, he started writing his letter to say goodbye to all his diocese. And it was the psalm that says, how happy my soul was when I have to say it in Spanish. Let me see. I'm going to the house of the Lord. I don't know what psalm is it. You know, the song that we sing for sometimes about Jerusalem, how happy my soul is when I go to the house of the Lord.
I think that's one of the gradual psalms, the songs of ascents. It's like 120, yes. 126, 127, something like that.
Yes, so that's what that was how he started his letter to say goodbye to all his diocese. And then he starts talking about how joyful he feels that the Lord is calling him to go back home. And then he died on that day. So everybody, it was a beautiful funeral, and thousands of people came to visit, and he was very special to everybody. And I think recently they are trying to see if he's going to become a blessed or a servant of God first, right, before being beatified.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was so, so holy and such a great pastor, and he would always have time for confession and for spiritual guidance. He impacted our lives and our kids' lives, and our he was our shepherd when we were dating, and he married us. And then he died at the age of 53 or 54, so he was very young. And that's one of the stories. I have another story that my friend, she passed away about 13 years ago, and then I wanted to pray for her soul. She died in a train accident in Portugal. And in Camino, in Spain, with her. She had an accident, and she was the only one who passed away from her family. And I wanted to pray. I was very sad. And I walked in this parish trying to pray for her. And the first thing I noticed, you know how they have a table with prayers and things like that? The first thing I found was a little black booklet, which was the novena for the souls in purgatory. I have never seen it before. That was just a special moment for me to find that novena. I was able to pray that novena, and it gave me spiritual comfort. That's another time that the souls send a special message.
Wow. What a beautiful sharing. You know, and I love particularly, Mary, you talked about the priest, you know, because there's so much emphasis on the negativity toward priests, but we have to remember many, many priests like the one you shared who are true shepherds, who really feed the flock, who nourish the flock, who lead the flock, who we can follow their example on the road to salvation. You know, so I love that. What a beautiful call. Thank you so much, Mary. We're talking about All Souls today on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We're talking about those who have died, those who impacted our lives in a significant and special way, who have helped us on our journey of faith to become more of who God created and calls each one of us to be. Maybe they impacted our spiritual life. We still remember those people to this day in our prayers. Would love to hear from you. Who was that person in your life? And share how that person has impacted you spiritually. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Brenda is calling from Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Media. Brenda, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you very much. And it's a joy to listen to you on the way home from work every day. Just a joy.
Thank you so much.
And I wanted to share that it was my daughter and my son that I lost in 2023. She was 33 and he was 30. They they died 4 months apart. And in the journey of grief, I've learned what they were and how the qualities of them, and I try to emulate them. We try and say we taught our children, but my children are now teaching me about the way they live their life. They never judge, and we are so quick to judge. I am so quick to judge, and I find myself constantly saying, no, Chelsea wouldn't do that. Michael J. wouldn't say that. No, I'm going to honor them by no, I'm going to do this, and I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
Oh, and they also taught me Father Jason Palamo. He helped me through both of the funerals, and I just said there was one person in particular, a couple of people in particular that led to my son's demise. And he says, well, and I was like, I'm so hard. It's not easy for me to forgive. And he just simply said, Brenda, you have to forgive every day. And it's 7 times 70. And it doesn't mean you just say one time, okay, I forgive. No, it's something that I go through every day, okay? You know? And I relived their lives, and I was like, Michael, if you were here, you wouldn't hold a grudge. You wouldn't hold a grudge. And Chelsea was friends with everyone, both of them. Michael J., all you had to do was talk to either one of them. And they, especially Chelsea, she was your friend for life. And she loved to share. I had no idea what kind of impact she had on other people's life. And to her funeral, and people would share with me, and how much my son had an impact on others until at the funeral, and they shared with me, and it was like, it touched my heart, because we never know what kind of impact we have until someone's gone, and it's just a blessing to me to know that they went through their life and they were able to forgive, and they became friends with so many people, and they didn't judge. They didn't judge. Didn't matter who you were, they were accepting you for who you were, and they saw God in them, they saw Jesus in them. And
wow.
My children, I learn every day from them. And
thank you so much, and so sorry to hear about the loss of your children. As a parent, that's the one thing I think that we dread the most, is because the way it's supposed to work is that we're supposed to die and our children are supposed to outlive us. But to lose two of your children, Brent, especially when they're older, you know, but to share how their lives impacted others. The same thing with my mom. I heard stories at my mom's funeral that I had no idea. I mean, there were kids that came up to me, because my mom used to volunteer in the lunchroom at our grade school, because I guess to offset some of the tuition, you work at the school. And there were some kids that told me they would not have eaten that day had it not been for my mom. You know, like, even though they couldn't pay for it, you know, my mom was able to get them food for free, and that's the only meal they had that entire day. I didn't know any of that. You know, it was just amazing. And so I want to, and Brenda, you reminded me of something I want to share with all of those moms who may have lost children. I mean, dads too, but I particularly want to say this about the moms. Father Donald Calloway talks about this. It's something called microchimerism. Okay. That's the exchange of cells from the placenta to the mother during pregnancy. And also, this is more scientific evidence is showing that the transfer of cells between a baby and mom, not just through the placenta in utero, but also through nursing as well. And even with twins, there's an exchange between the mom and one twin, and then it cycles through to the other twin. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful way. Knowing that even though your children are gone, you still literally have part of them inside of you. you still have their cells inside your own body as a mother. And how beautiful is that? Thank you so much, Brenda. What a beautiful call. We're talking about All Souls Day today. We're talking about those who have gone before us, who have impacted us, who have significantly impacted our spiritual journey. Our lives could be a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, a mentor, a teacher, a friend, and how you remember those persons, how you honor those people that have gone before us. We're talking about that today on Beacon of Truth. All Souls, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Joe is calling from Maine, listening on iHeart Catholic Radio. Joe, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, great to be on the show.
Great to have you here.
I just wanted to say you're talking about All Souls today, and I got two souls I would like to talk about. First off is my father, whom I'm named after, and he taught me, when I was an altar boy, he always used to tell me I had it easy. You know, I was Novus Ordo. He was always talking about, oh, the Mass was in Latin, and I would say, yeah, Dad, okay. But when he passed away, I started attending Latin Masses, and I realized not only was he right, but it was very beautiful. And I started looking at the other Masses. I've been to Maronite Masses, as you spoke of, Byzantine Masses are a favorite. I love going the Saturday before Easter. I like going to the Byzantine Mass. It's always something to see and experience. And he really introduced me to a deeper level of Catholicism. He really did. And especially the rosary, because I actually started making rosaries after he passed on. And are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. And just basically, it's just that basically opened my faith widely. It really did. And the other person I'd like to talk about is a man named George Nathan Parks. Mm-hmm. For 33 years, he was the director of the University of Massachusetts Minuteman Marching Band. And I went to UMass, actually specifically to be in that band, because I used to see them at high school band competitions. They do demonstrations for us. And I knew I had to be in that band. Amazing organization. Well, in 2010, he had a big dream realized. He had always wanted to bring his band to a really big game, and UMass was playing Michigan. You can guess how the game turned out against Michigan. Of course, the football team lost.
Yeah.
But the way the band traveled to those games was they would go on buses, and they would stay at high school gymnasiums, and in return, they would do shows that night getting to the game. And they stopped at Cuyahoga Falls on the Thursday before. They did a show for the locals. It was a great show. You can see it on YouTube. But then he collapsed and he died of a heart attack in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
After the show. You have to excuse me a little. They're still emotional for me.
Yeah, sure.
But to show the strength of the band he had built, they continued on. They did another practice show on Friday at the next stop, and they went all the way to the stadium in Michigan, and they did their show, and they killed it. They really did.
Oh.
And you can see everything on YouTube, and I encourage people to go on YouTube and look up UMass Band in Michigan and watch those kids in action in 2010. It's amazing.
Thank you, Joe. And you know, we love music here on Beacon of Truth. So I love the fact that you're sharing with us today about All Souls involved a band. You know, many people learn to come to love music and, you know, as an introduction to their faith through music and through particularly through band in high school. So, oh, Joe, thank you for sharing that. And all everyone who's calling today, please remember, we're remembering all your loved ones in our prayers for sure. And I'll remember each and every one especially tonight in my prayers for Vespers. And when I pray the Office of the Dead on Saturday, I will remember all of your loved ones in my heart and in my prayers. We're talking about All Souls today on Beacon of Truth. Let's go to John in Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. John, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Deacon Harold, it's an honor to be talking to the Deacon of the Beacon. It really is.
Well, thank you, John.
Well, I can tell you that my experience of my own father was sort of the other end of the spectrum from your previous caller. My father was, he had a lot of issues. He was an alcoholic, very much so, a substance abuser, very abusive towards myself and my mother. And for that reason, I had a very poor relationship with him my entire life. But after my mother died, he was falling apart, and I could tell. And like 3 months after she had died, and so and all my other siblings who were treated much better than I was by him, none of them would come to see him because he was non-functional. There was booze bottles all over the house. The house stunk of cigarettes. So I was the only one that went over to help him. And the last 2 weeks of his life, I finally reconciled things with him, and he asked, "Why are you the one to come to help me? You know, you're the only, I treated you worse than anyone else." And I just told him, "Well, you know, because you're my father. No other reason."
Yeah, yeah.
And from that moment on, for the first time ever, I had my father's unconditional love. And I know I'm being very emotional about this, but I was just devastated when I found him dead in his house 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And I can say this, though, from that moment on, for years afterward, I could feel him, his presence in my soul, and I could hear him giving me the consultation and fathering me the way he could have when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it took many years, but finally I felt as though I'd reconciled things in his soul. And you know what? The real tragedy was the fact that I realized he had kept me from being who God had really created me to be. Mm. And after reconciling these things with my father, not only did I realize who I really am and who God created me to be, but I began to really understand the good qualities my father had. He wasn't all bad. He was actually a mathematical genius, a talented piano player, and very clever. You know, now when people see me, relatives of mine, they go, "Oh my God, I feel like your father just walked into the room."
Wow. Wow. So powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, bring some things home for me, too. You know, a lot of people know my story, and my relationship with my dad wasn't very good at all as well. And I was actually praying at his bedside when he died. So I totally relate to you. Totally, totally relate to you. And thank you so much for that call. Let's try to get to, Father Ted, calling from Detroit, Michigan. Father, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, please go ahead, Father.
Should I begin?
Yes, please.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I just want to mention this story about Melvin Severls. I can give a long story and a short story. I'm not sure how much time I have.
We got like two minutes.
2 minutes. All right. So basically, I'm an African American person. So is he and his family. We went to All Saints School in Brooklyn, which was an Italian school, basically. And we were altar service together. And he said he wanted to be a priest. Well, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be or not. But 2 years ahead of me, he went to Epiphany College and was an excellent student there. And I later on went to another seminary. But he was never ordained a priest. Mm. But all during these years, he died 5 years ago. All during these years, he has just been a tremendous spiritual partner for me in this sense, that not only did I think about him and pray to him, for him, but it's just been a wonderful experience knowing that, and you don't hear this much about African-Americans, especially in this country these days, but people should know that they're just wonderful people, and he was just an outstanding, outstanding person. I had his mother's funeral. I've had his sister's funeral. His sister was in my class, and she just died this past year. And I've known the family for just a very, very long time. They're wonderful folks. And Melvin was an outstanding person.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Father. It's so wonderful. Because we always hear about how priests impacted us, but it's beautiful here to hear how, you know, a layperson impacted the priest. So, and you're able to provide those wonderful services for his family. Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, tomorrow is Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles and break open God's Word as we talk about vocations on Vocation Sunday. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.